This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a community church located in Aurora, Illinois. For more information, go to orchardvalleyonline.com.
You know, I was thinking this past week about how light is really just an amazing thing, isn't it? If you think about light. Everyone say light. In fact, did you know there is nothing in this universe that goes faster than light? I think it's like 186,000 miles per second is how fast light travels. It's pretty amazing. In fact, did you know, a little light trivia here for you, did you know that it takes light 8 1/3 minutes to go from the sun to the earth, which is a distance of like 93 million miles? It takes 8 1/3 minutes to do that. That's faster than some of you drive. So some of you might drive a little faster than that, I don't know. But when you look at the moon, you are actually seeing it as it existed a second and a half ago. On the other hand, if you look at the North Star, okay, if you look at Polaris, you are looking at something that is like, I think, 1,000 light years away. You're seeing a star as it was 1,000 years ago. That's pretty amazing. The light that left the star reaching your eyes right now took 1,000 years to cross that distance. You're just now seeing it. You know, we rely heavily on light, don't we? I mean, we just do. Without light, we would be in rough shape without light, wouldn't we? I mean, we rely on light for a lot of things. Without light, we couldn't make our way around anywhere. We'd all be sitting in our homes. In fact, we wouldn't even have homes because you couldn't build homes in the dark, right? And I mean, light is pretty important. But you know what? What really amazes me is about how just a little bit of light can light up a dark room. In fact, if we were to make this room completely dark right now, and I were to just light a match, you'd be amazed at how much light that little tiny flame can create. A little bit of light, and it can make a big difference. You know, it reminds me of a phrase of Scripture that I want us to turn our attention to this morning. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We'll have it on the screens too. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, there's this phrase that Paul gives us, and it's a simple phrase, and it says this: shine like the stars in the heavens. Can we say that together? Let's read that together. Ready? Shine like the stars in the heavens. And in the section just prior to the verse, the Apostle Paul, he dreams of a day when everybody on planet Earth will bow their hearts and lives to Jesus. Paul says, I can't wait for the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is who he says he is. And people will be in a loving relationship with their Creator, and their sins will be forgiven, and they will experience new life. Paul says, oh, I dream of that day. But then he says, you know, if that's going to happen, if that's ever going to become a reality, then we need a plan. How is it going to happen? How are all these people who are far from God ever going to come to know him? Well, let me show you something interesting. Look if you would, with me at the verses just preceding this one. He says to these people that he's writing to something very profound, very, very theological. He says this: do everything without complaining and don't argue with each other. I mean, what a profound, what a simple statement. He says, do everything without complaining and don't argue with each other. It's kind of like he's saying, look, okay, if we're ever going to reach this world, we got to just get along. If we're ever really going to impact the world around us, we just got to quit arguing all the time and just get along with each other. He says, do everything without complaining. Don't argue with each other. What a practical way to go there. He says, stop complaining, stop arguing with each other. Why? And then he says this. It says, so that you might become blameless and pure, children of the Father, without fault in this crooked and depraved world in which you should shine like the stars of the heavens. This morning, I want to journey through this phrase because it seems to be so packed with meaning. Paul begins by talking about this whole shining concept. And it's interesting because as you look through the scriptures and as you journey through the scriptures, you'll find that one of Jesus' favorite sayings was, I am the light of the world. And, you know, it's easy to read that and go, oh, you know, that's, yes, of course, Jesus, light, that's so nice. But see, this statement carries with it such a, I think, a deeper meaning than that. Jesus is saying, he's saying, I am the light of the world. And I think that his goal in saying this is to differentiate his identity and his power from the kind of power that we see at work in this world. And in case you're not aware, and there is a cosmic battle going on in this world. And I'm not talking about Star Wars or, you know, any of that Star Trek type thing. The battle that I'm referring to is what the Bible indicates is a battle between the powers of God and the powers of the evil one. In fact, the scriptures call it the power of light against the power of darkness. And it's a metaphor that we find used over and over in the scriptures. I mean, think about it. It does not take long. You turn on Fox News, CNN, you turn on any news channel, you pick up the Tribune, it will not take you long to realize, man, that there are some really dark things going on in this world. I mean, and you think it's bad here, try opening up the world section and read what's going on around the world in some of these other nations and countries, man. There are atrocities, there are things happening that, I mean, you talk about dark. I mean, we see it all over the place. We see corruption in government, don't we? We see embezzlement. We see people jacking each other around for selfish purposes. I mean, there is evil at work in this world. And as you know, if you and I get honest with ourselves, we all know that feeling of darkness in our own lives, don't we? I mean, you know that power that pulls you toward rage and lust and revenge and violence and self-centeredness and bitterness and so on. And sometimes that dark side that we all have has a tendency to just sort of rear its ugly head in our lives, doesn't it? It reminds me of a time a while back. I was sitting in Starbucks doing some writing. I was just minding my own business, typing away on my computer and had my earphones on. And, you know, all of a sudden I hear this horrible scream. And I thought, oh my God, you know, what's going on here? It was horrible. And so as quickly as I could, I turned around to see what the heck that noise was, and it quickly became evident to me that it was these two young children that were just freaking out with each other. Like, they were just wigging out big time. While mom was completely oblivious to what was going on. She's, you know, she was sipping her latte, and she's ignoring her children, and she's engaged in conversation. So I decided to take the high road, and I ignored them. And I tried to get back to my work. And so I turned my music up even louder. And just as I started getting back into the zone, all of a sudden one of the kids ran over to this table that I'm working at. And as hard as they could, bumps into this table, almost spilling my coffee all over my laptop. I mean, it was horrible. And suddenly, my body began turning green. I had become the Incredible Hulk. No, I'm just kidding. But let me tell you, that dark side that we're talking about, it showed up. That dark side, man, began rising up out of me, and I jumped up out of my chair, and I said, listen, you kids need to chill out. I'm sitting here minding my own business, working on my sermon, and you kids are running around like a bunch of drunken children. Just chill out. Okay, I didn't really say that. But I sure wanted to, believe me. But then, of course, I remember that everybody at that Starbucks knows me. They know what I do for a living. And so I decided to take the high road. I got up, moved all my stuff, moved to the other side of the room, and I said a prayer for these children and their mother, who obviously needed healing in her ears. But anyway, author Dallas Willard refers to our dark side as this readiness to sin tendency that we have. In fact, let me read you a quote. Look, it'll be on the screens. He says, you know, it doesn't even take very much pressure for the average person to tell a white lie, to speak a harsh word, to think an arrogant, judging thought. It doesn't take all that much pressure for someone to lust after someone else's spouse or to envy someone else's stuff, or to scheme to try to obtain either. I think probably all of us can relate to this. I mean, there is not one of us in this room that does not probably, I think, on a daily basis, struggle with some sort of sin temptation. And because of the work of the evil one in this world, and because of this readiness to sin factor that lurks just beneath the surface in all of us, the Bible says that every one of us understands this darkness. All of us understand it. Romans 3:23 says it well. It says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." That includes me, and that includes you. All of us have sinned. We understand darkness. And now in the face of this darkness, Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. And you know, there are many implications of that metaphor that Jesus uses. But the one that I want to point out to you this morning is found in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, verse 6. And I want to read that to you. And this, you know what? This is one of those scriptures. Don't put it up yet. Hold on. This is one of those scriptures. Away. Okay. This is one of those scriptures that, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, that you read and you go, "I didn't like that one." You know how you read some scriptures and you're like, "Ooh, that's good. Mm." And then you read others and you're like, "Ooh." Okay, well, this is the ooh one. Okay, look, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth." Let me read that again. 1 John 1, 6. "So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth." So the Bible says, you know what? Let's talk about this dark side thing. Let's just settle it. He says, if you are aware of your dark side, and if you are aware of the fact that your dark side isn't getting much brighter, and if you become aware that you can't overcome the power of darkness in and of your own strength, then that's when you need to awaken to the power, to the light of Christ, and ask for his help. Because if you don't do that, man, that tendency is that darkness is going to overwhelm you and wreck your life. Man, I know people like this. In fact, maybe there's some of you today who might say, "Man, Scott, you're talking to me." You know, and on a regular basis, I run across someone who'll say, "You know what, Scott, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I know I shouldn't be. Man, it's messing me up big time, but I just don't really want to stop. I can't stop." And you know what, I understand that. And these are just the plain cries of people in whose life darkness is gaining strength. It's a sad deal. And it's that darkness that pushes us further and further away from God and his light. That is the power of evil in this world. But against all that darkness, Jesus, the light of the world, shows up. And he says, "I have the power to dispel this darkness. I can wipe out the darkness with my illuminating power." And some of you know what I'm talking about, because you have invited Christ. You have invited the light of the world into your life. And you can say without boasting, you know what? Because of the illuminating power of Christ in my life, I don't lie as often as I used to. Man, I don't exaggerate as often as I used to. Man, the light is gaining speed in my life. Man, you might say, you know what? I judge others less harshly. Man, I boast less. I get wasted less, man. I abuse my body less. I commit less sexual sin. Because inside of me, the light, man, it's getting brighter due to the power of Christ at work in me. And man, I just want to say, if that's true of you, that is exactly how it should be. Man, if you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, the power of illumination, this light, should be dispelling the darkness, and you should be getting brighter and brighter and brighter every day. But here's where a real sober warning has to be made. Let's look back at that verse again in 1 John. "If we claim to have fellowship with God, and yet," now watch this phrase, "continue," I think that's the key word, "continue to walk in darkness, we lie. We do not live the truth, we don't know God. How many of you know someone who claims to be a religious person? Claims to be, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe they might even claim to be an attender here at the Orchard. You know, a lot of people claim to be quite spiritual, yet their attitudes and their behaviors and these patterns in their life are as dark, if not getting darker all the time. And how many of you, if I ask right now, do a little darkness check in your life? Is the power of evil about as strong in you as it has always been? Is your temper just as hard to control as it's ever been? Does your greed factor have about the same grip that it's always had on you? Or lust, or pride, or self-centeredness, on all of that? Man, if that's true, if the darkness in your life has remained constant, or maybe it's even started to get a little bit darker, no matter what you claim, no matter how often you come to this church, no matter how big of a Bible you might carry around with you, this thing, the Bible says that if you claim to know God and continue to walk in darkness, the power of Christ, the light of Christ, is not at work in you. And that's because Christ's light, this light that comes from Christ, has too much candle power to allow that darkness to remain in a steady state in your life. It couldn't happen. His light would dispel the darkness, and you would know it, and others of you, and other, I mean, others, people around you would know it. But, everyone say but. How many of you are happy about the buts? But, the good news, it's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge the power of darkness and our inability to overcome it by our human strength, God is faithful and just. And He can forgive our sins and He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can break the power that darkness has on us. And not only can He, but He will, and He wants to. But we've got to acknowledge our darkness. We've got to acknowledge our sinfulness. We've got to acknowledge our inability to change our condition and invite His light into our life. Now, some of you don't have this issue settled in your life. And I know this to be true. Some of you can't really think of a time when you formally acknowledged the darkness within your life and your inability to change it. Some of us can't remember a time when we said, Jesus Christ, light of the world, come into my life and start illuminating my spirit. Dispel the darkness. Give me a power that I don't have over my readiness to sin. And before we leave today, at the end of the service, we're going to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to take that step if you've never done so. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer that simply says, Jesus Christ, lead my life. I open my life up to your light to shine on that darkness. And if you have any doubts whether or not you are truly a follower of Jesus, I want you to pray that prayer with me at the end of the service today. But let's go back to this passage of Scripture. Paul is saying, look, I dream of a day when everyone on planet Earth, every living man, woman, and child will know the love of God through Jesus Christ. But then he says, how are we going to get this done? Because, man, this is a big task. And he says, first of all, those of us who have darkness reigning in our lives, we've got to become illuminated with this light of Christ. But then he goes on in this verse and he says, now, once that darkness starts being dispelled, you've got to learn how to shine like a star. You've got to learn how to do that. And what he's really talking about here is wattage. What is your wattage? How brightly do you shine? And you know, it's interesting because not only did Jesus declare himself to be the light of the world, but then to his followers. And once the light of his spirit was working in their life, he would turn it around and he would say, now you are the light of the world. And he says, I'm going to shine in and through your life in such a way, man, that you're going to begin to be a source of hope for people in and around your world. And as Paul said in the section we read earlier, he says, if you refrain from complaining and arguing as you live pure and blameless, you will begin to shine like stars. Your life will be a brightly burning torch testifying to the illuminating work of Jesus Christ. and people around you will start noticing that there's less darkness in you. Man, they'll start noticing that there's less anger in you. They'll start noticing that there's less of that bad kind of ambition in you, and there's less hate, and there's less junk, and there's less sin, and there's less corruption and greed and all of that. And they're going to say, man, I know that person. And I know that there's got to be a God somewhere, because I know that that person does not have the ability to get rid of all that themselves. I know people here in this room who have opened up their dark lives to the love and the illuminating abilities of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when that experience occurs in people, and many of you know this, when you discover God's love for your life and God begins to change your heart, it's just a natural thing for people to say, you know what, now I want my family to experience it. And I want my friends to, I want my colleagues to experience that same light that I've experienced. And then, of course, we wonder how do we do that? Paul says, I'll give you the best way. Paul says, you need to utilize a shining strategy. He says, lead such a shining life. Let your love shine so brightly that people will say, okay, that is not human love. Okay, that is a love of another kind. That is some crazy love. That is something out of this world, man. He doesn't say, go out and talk about it to everyone you know and preach down their throats and go to family reunions and make everyone mad because you're always preaching at them. He says, let your light shine through your actions. Now, just real quick, I want to speak to those of you who in this room are followers of Jesus. In fact, if you have your bulletin, take that out, because I want to give you three things to write down real quick. And I would encourage you to take this home and let this be sort of a springboard for your prayer life this new year. I want to give you three ways that you, as a follower of Jesus, can let your love and that light shine through your life. Because my guess is that every one of you sitting here today who are followers of Jesus would say, I want my light to shine brighter. I want to give you these real quick. Number one, one of the things that will help us to be the lights that God has called us to be, this first word is humility. Would you write that down? Everyone say humility. Man, can I just say something? The attitude that we display to other people, man, will absolutely make or break the opportunity we have to share God's love with them. Man, it will speak volumes about you to others. In fact, I would even go as far as to say, man, that your attitude towards other people is much more important than any words you have to say, because talk is cheap. I feel a preach coming on here this morning. You know, listen, one of the biggest criticisms that people have made about Christian people is that they're all talk. I think we should change that. So we need to have an attitude of humility. What is humility? I think we tend to have a jacked up view of humility. We think that humility, like if someone has less of something, that makes them humble. Or if they're kind of timid and kind of weak, we think, well, they're real humble. But the truth is, humility has nothing to do with what you have or don't have. Just because you don't have much doesn't mean that you're automatically humble. Can I tell you something? We every week we get people that come and just knock on the door of the church and ask for money because they're in need. And of course, you just can't possibly help every person out that you would like to. And I'll tell you that we have people who show up all the time. They have nothing in their lives and they're asking for help. And I can tell you that most of the people that come and show up are really nice people. But there are some that show up, they have nothing in their lives, and they are the nastiest, meanest people I've ever met. And they will come and they will say, well, you know, if you, Pastor, if you really have heard from God, then you should know by now that you're supposed to help me. And you know, I don't dig that kind of manipulation, you know? And so, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, humility is not about how much you have or don't have. I know people who have a lot that are some of the most humble people I've ever known. And if you ask them, how did you get all this? They'll say, I have no idea, I'm just lucky. God just did this to me. So we need to have an attitude of humility. Humility, I think, is just a simple acknowledgement of the fact that without God, you are nothing. You are up a creek without a paddle. You are in deep water. You are well done without God. And I think we need to be reminded of that from time to time. I think it's good for you to say to God on a regular basis, God, without you, I'm nothing. And help me to never forget that. Number two, it also helps us to be people who understand the meaning of acceptance. Everyone say acceptance. accepting people for who they are, man, is a great way to let your light shine. Man, part of the way we do this, I think, is by understanding that we're all at different places in our spiritual journey. And it's, I don't think it's not just understanding that, but it's also being willing to respect that. And that's why at The Orchard, man, we want to be a church that accepts and respects people just as they are. I mean, someone asked me the other day, now, do you allow, like, anybody? Like anybody to attend your church? And I said, sure, absolutely. I mean, as long as they're wearing clothes, they can come in here. Because, see, look, let me just say something. It's not my job to change anyone. It is not my job to change you. It is not your job to change anyone. The minute that I think it's my job to change you is the minute I become judgmental. Oh, come on now. I'm saying something good here. And the minute you start thinking that it's your job to change people is the minute you become judgmental. It's not our job to change people. Our job is to do like Jesus did and love and accept them. And as we love them and as we accept them and as we share what God's word has to say, the Holy Spirit does what only He is capable of doing, and He begins to move in people's hearts and begins to change people. I can't do it. You can't do it. Doesn't mean that you accept every decision someone makes or you believe that their lifestyle is right or whatever. Listen, you don't have to dig very far in the Bible, in the New Testament, to see the acceptance of Jesus. I mean, Jesus ticked off the religious people. I mean, He ticked off the religious people because He would hang out with people who didn't have faith in Him. He would hang out, not just that, He would hang out like with the outcasts. I mean, He would reach out and minister and show mercy to prostitutes and the tax collect people that the religious people hated these people. Jesus loved them and accepted them, and Jesus chose to hang out and establish relationships with these people. Man, can I tell you, I just love hanging around people who don't know God. Sometimes they know how to have a better time than Christian people. I know you're afraid to laugh, but you know it's true. Sometimes Christians get so uptight, so judgmental, man. So we need to be accepting of people. If you like a church where everybody looks the same and sounds the same and talks the same, this probably is not the church for you. Because we've decided that we're going to be a church that accepts people no matter where they're at in their spiritual journey. We're going to love those people. We're going to accept them. We're going to allow God's Spirit to do His work in them. And if it doesn't happen overnight, that's okay. We allow people to journey a little bit and to discover and ask questions. Let me give you the third thing. The third thing that will help us shine our lights brightly is a willingness to adjust. Everyone say adjust. My hope and prayer is that when you sit in these comfortable chairs every Sunday, that you don't just walk away with information, but rather my hope and prayer is that transformation takes place in your life. I mean, if all you do is walk out of here and it's just like, well, that's some good information, that's not going to do you any good at all. I mean, we don't teach for the sake of information. You can get information anywhere. And we talk and we speak forth what we share with you for the hope of transformation to occur. Man, the best thing that I can hear someone say to me is not, hey, that's a cool sermon, dude. I appreciate that, but can I tell you the greatest thing that I can hear someone say to me is, you know what, Scott? Your talk today just really jacked me up, man. Yes. Or man, you know, Scott, after your talk today, I decided to make a few adjustments in the way I think, in the way I treat other people. Man, when I hear that, I tell you, that helps me sleep so well at night. People send me emails and say, Scott, you know, your message spoke to me and I decided to go make something right with someone. I decided to stop hanging out with this crowd. I decided to do this or that, man. But I can tell you that as a pastor, I am not exempt from making adjustments in my life. And I'll tell you what, seldom does a week go by when I'm not challenged. And I'm writing these messages, and I seldom does a week go by that I'm not challenged in my own way of thinking and some sort of adjustments required. I think we need to be people who are constantly adjusting. So, I think we should be determined this year to start out with an attitude of humility that says, God, it's only by your grace and your power that I can do and be who I am. So let's be people of humility. Let's be people of acceptance. Let's be people who love and accept others. And let's be willing to make those difficult adjustments in our lives. And so with all that said, here's a tough question that I want to ask you. And I'm not going to take away any of the pain that this question brings with it. I just want to serve it right here to you all. Those of you who are already followers of Christ, what is your wattage in terms of shining and letting the illuminating power of Christ shine through your life? What's your wattage? Are you a 25-watt bulb? Would you say, okay, I'm a 50-watt? Would you say, you know what, through Christ shining within me, I'm 75-watt? Would you say, you know what, by His grace alone, I think I'm a 100-watt bulb? Maybe you'd say, you know what, Scott, I get up every day and I pray and I say, God, help me to shine. Help me to shine through my love, through my integrity, through my servanthood, through my compassion. Help me to shine today. Help me to shine like a star so that other people will notice and wonder about this power that makes me shine. What's your wattage? Here's another group I want to speak to. Some of you might say, you know what? My wattage is low. Some of you might say, you know, if I'm honest about it, I don't think I'm shining at all. People in my work environment don't even know that the candle of power of Christ is at work inside my life. Scott, I hate to admit it, people in my neighborhood, they don't even know that I'm a follower of Christ. And I just want to say that if you're burning at like 50 watts or lower, 25 or lower, and you claim to be a Christian, maybe it's time to make some resolutions for this new year. And maybe it's time for you to get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry for being such a low-watt bulb. I'm sorry. I'm called to shine like the stars in the heavens. You, God, you give me your illuminating power, all that I need, more than I can use to light up my life, and I'm not tapping into it. I'm not agreeing with the work of your Holy Spirit in my life. And my life is more about other stuff and things than it is about shining in a way that will draw others towards you. Perhaps that will be your prayer today. Paul says one more thing. He says, you know, the light of Christ has to dispel darkness so that you can shine. He says, you need to get Christ's light in your life first. And then he says, you need to shine to your full potential. You need to shine like a star. But then there's this interesting little phrase that we saw earlier that says, shine like the stars in the heaven. And Paul refers here to this backdrop of what we should be shining at. And he says it's the expansive blackness of the universe. In other words, he says, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, stop complaining about the godless environment that you work in. Stop complaining about how dark your college is. Stop complaining about how irreligious everyone in the neighborhood is. Because see, against all that kind of darkness, your light has kind of a multiplied illuminating power. The darker it is, the more your light will be seen. And if it's really dark where you live, or if it's really dark where you work or where you go to school, Paul says, that's perfect. Good. Because, man, because however bright your wattage is, it's really going to be seen against that much darkness. And so stop moaning and groaning and about the context and just keep praying. Say, God, in the middle of all this darkness, it is exceedingly important that you burn so brightly through me. Did you get what I'm saying this morning? Shine like the stars against the blackness of whatever environment you're in. So today the closing question is this. Am I going to shine like the stars in the heavens between now and the final day of my life? Are we going to say, Jesus Christ, light of the world, light up my life, dispel the darkness by your Spirit's power. Make me burn so brightly against the darkness of the environments that I'm in that people will eventually say, oh man, a love like that? Oh, a joy like that? A strength like that? A hope like that? A serving spirit is attributable only to the power of a God who must be alive and well. And maybe he could work in my life. And I think if the Apostle Paul were here in the flesh today, he would probably close this service by saying this, Orchard, Shine like the stars in the heavens with the days that remain in your life. And I hope that we would all agree and that our response would be, I will. I will. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the light that you have brought into this world. This is really what we've celebrated. This Christmas time, we celebrated the light of Jesus that came into this world. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for redemption. We thank you, God, for bringing a solution to a pretty big problem. Lord, today we open our hearts to you, and God, we desire for that light to shine in our lives. And just while your head is bowed right now and your eyes are closed, I just want to say this. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be in your life, if you've never taken that step, and you know, you might be here and you might say, I'm not ready to do that today, and that's okay. But some of you are so ready. Some of you are so long overdue. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning, and you don't, I'm not going to ask you to say this out loud, but just in your own way, in your own heart this morning, I just want you in your own way to God to say this to him. And the prayer is this: Jesus, come into my life. I really believe I need you. And I need your light to dispel the darkness that's in my life. So I invite you to be the ruler of my life. Thank you for shining your light in me. Lord, I thank you for those who maybe you just prayed that, and I know they meant it in their heart. And Lord, now maybe there's others here today who are followers of you. They just haven't really been shining like they should. And I just want to just take a moment, just for a few seconds, just stop for a minute, and just in your own way, ask God to help you to shine brighter to the world around you. You don't have to say a big fancy prayer to God. Just in your own way, just say, God, help me to shine brighter. Maybe you're a 25 watter. Maybe you're like a little nightlight, you know, 5 watts or something. And you just need to get it cranked up a bit. Just ask God in your own way to help you shine brighter. Lord, we ask that today. God, help us to shine like the stars in the heavens with the days that remain in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.